It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Andy Conti, sitting in for Paul Guggenheimer. The Hero's Journey Foundation is inspired by mythological teachings and seeks to engage participants in a sense of adventure as they work to satisfy their own spiritual longings. Based in Pittsburgh, the group conducts rites of passage experience in the mountains of West Virginia several times a year. Co-founder Michael Mervosh is a licensed psychologist working in Highland Park. He also works with about 50 practitioners in Pittsburgh and Spain. We've asked him to come in and explain why people come here to the Pittsburgh region from around the world to participate in the Hero's Journey events. Michael, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Andy.
So can you start out by telling us a little bit about the Hero's Journey? What is the Hero's Journey?
Well, you know, this was inspired by the teachings of Joseph Campbell back in...
And who is Joseph
Campbell? Joseph Campbell was an American scholar who wrote the book A Hero with a Thousand Faces, a seminal work that's been profoundly influential in American culture, you know, from the Star Wars series artistic endeavors. It's the universal story, the one great story, you know, that everyone is humming along to, that they don't even know the story's playing in the background, you know. So Campbell went around and spent his life studying cultures and times and places and said, what's the one story that animates the human spirit? You know, this story of taking leave, you know, taking leave of home, going on a worthwhile adventure, an adventure that awakens something within you that only the adventure would awaken, and then returning home and bringing that life to the culture in which they live.
And is part of the problem that most of us don't seek out that type of adventure any longer? We don't have to, so maybe we stay behind our desks.
It's one of the pitfalls of modern life. You know, we don't have to contend with the forces of nature anymore. We can stay inside of four walls and call it a day. Most days, we don't ever have to venture out. And in the same way that we don't ever have to venture out and contend with the outer elements of living, we don't have to venture in the same way.
And so what do you do then? How do you go out into the wild? You put people into situations where they're challenged externally and internally, I guess.
They're challenged externally, no doubt, and they're challenged internally. So, you know, in our site that we use in West Virginia, in the middle of the Monongahela Forest, you have a place that you can go to that feels like you're off the grid, completely off the grid, and it's only 4 hours from.
It not only feels like it, you actually are off the grid.
You're off the grid, and, right. And there's, you know, in our culture, we don't have many places that take you in. You know, our rites of passage today have to do with bar mitzvahs. Adolescence, you know, is a rite of passage that we all deal with. Going away to college, getting married. There are all these markers that say, once you do this, there's no going back. You know, but we don't have something beyond that that says, once you do this, something wakes up and there's no going back to the way you were.
And so what happens then when people come down to the mountains of West Virginia where you have your site? What kinds of things do you do to replicate that hero's journey?
Well, the first thing that happens is that you take leave of everything that's familiar, so that you step away from home, you step away from your routines, and you go on this drive to take you far up into a space that says, I haven't been into something like this before. And that's one of the essential features of a rite of passage. There's a calling that takes you beyond whatever has shaped your identity within the confines of your culture or the societal expectations and puts you in a zone unknown to you both externally and internally. But, you know, for us, it's really crucial that you're in an environment that's majestic, you know, that reflects something of that of your own nature. And it's also wild. You know, you're in a rustic wilderness setting. And, you know, we've got in West Virginia at the Mountain Institute, we have these, you know, beautiful Mongolian yurts that were built by the architect Bill Copperswaith that really reflect something unique and distinct, which is, you know, also lying within us.
You're listening to Essential Pittsburgh. This is Andy Conti sitting in for Paul Guggenheimer. We're talking with Michael Mervosh, a licensed psychologist and co-founder of the Hero's Journey Foundation. Michael, what do you say to people who, like myself, have said, hey, this Hero's Journey, it sounds neat, but it's not for me? What do you tell people?
Maybe it's not.
Okay. It's not for everyone.
Or maybe it's not. Or maybe it's not for your time. Or But who it's for? It's for someone that's looking for a border or a boundary beyond which they're currently living, and they can find what that is. And sometimes our careers provide enough of that. You know, our family lives provide enough of that. But we don't have something that says, well, now that I've gone here, at a certain point, many of us find, you know, I've been there, done that. I've accomplished, I've accumulated, or I've failed to accomplish, or I've failed to accumulate. What needs to happen for me next? So when you decide to commit to an inner journey, you need circumstances that are going to create the kinds of challenges and adventures and ordeals that would wake something up inside of you that wouldn't otherwise wake up.
Is there anything that you tell people to listen for, to watch for in their lives, to say, hey, this is the moment. This is when I should be reaching out for this experience.
Trouble. Listen for trouble. If it's going on in your current life, you don't have to listen too hard. Understand it's different than a problem. You know, we all have problems, but it's how we're troubled. And we all need good trouble, things that challenge us, disturb us, to wake us up, to do more with ourselves, to change the way we orient ourselves to the world, not change the way the world is necessarily. And what I think is essential, and what inspired us to come up with this particular format, is precisely, you know, an example from the last segment, where you had someone take a bullet and they could work that in some way to the point where they say, that bullet woke me up, and that ordeal became something that brought me alive that wouldn't any other way. Well, how do you do that without having to take one?
So many of us think of getting off the grid and going into the wild as dangerous, right? Mm-hmm. That's why we're here in society, civilized society. Where do you draw the line between, you know, where's the line where somebody crosses too far and puts themselves in an actual dangerous situation? And how do you prevent that from happening?
Well, I think, you know, the idea of needing to go out or go beyond where we're going or what we're currently doing in our life is probably – and if we follow that calling and put ourselves in these kinds of settings, we're probably least likely to do dangerous things. We'll do dangerous things when we can't do anything positively risky. We'll do destructive things. We'll drink ourselves into a dangerous state. We'll become violent, you know, become aggressive. We won't face what's lodged within us that causes us to become violent.
Can you have people coming here from to the Pittsburgh region and to West Virginia from around the world and from across the United States. Why is that? What are you offering that is drawing people here for this particular message?
Well, we have a very unique site in West Virginia where we have various elements that are likely to wake up something in the human psyche, from heights and cliffs. And we have waters, you know, immersing ourselves in waters. We have caves. We have pristine forest territories, all reflections of the natural world that help to evoke that. But we also have a team of people and this paradigm of the journey that we hold to that puts you in a kind of cooking pot that is, if you stay with it and you stay in it, wakes something up that needs to come alive for you. And we can't say what that would be, but we can say that's will be, you know, something will wake up, and then we pay attention to what that is.
We talked in the intro about how you yourself do some work in Spain. I know you're traveling there often, doing work as a psychologist. Where are the people coming from that are coming to the Hero's Journey here?
Well, they're hearing about it from other people who have done it. It's really the kind of thing many of you were saying, like, well, who thinks about it? We all think about doing something, you know, and we're all living some kind of life that we're more or less satisfied or dissatisfied with. And we're all dreaming of something that we want to do. But in between that living and that dreaming is the waking up to it. You know, something has to disturb us enough and awaken us enough to live into the dream. Otherwise, we're dreamers.
What stops people from waking up to that dream?
Risk. Risk. And because what I have to face is myself, right? And we have the human dilemma that we're all adventurers. You know, I mean, those are the stories that we cherish and we tell about from how we came to be on this continent or that formed this country, you know, the space exploration to be, you know, Campbell spoke of the lunar landing as profoundly shifting our consciousness to see that heaven's not somewhere you go to. We're in the heavens. We can look and see that. And we, you know, we've run out of external places, so we need a way to go in to awaken that. And what we have left for that is the wilderness.
This is Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Andy Conti, sitting in for Paul Guggenheimer. We're talking with Michael Mervosh, a licensed psychologist and co-founder of the Hero's Journey Foundation. Michael, when you're leading a group on the journey, at what point do you start to see transformations taking place in people? And what is that like when it happens?
Well, it usually takes a few days, you know, because most of us want to do something more. We're all interested in changing something about ourselves. We just don't want to have to be there when it happens, you know. We don't want to have to go through the undoing of something old to make the space for something new. And usually within the first few days of being removed, what we all have to tolerate if we're changing something is that we have to tolerate the unfamiliar and the self-judgments we face, the insecurities we face, inadequacies, fears, those normal human neurotic anxieties that creep around us all the time are in our face. And what you have is a profound support team that's there to help you walk through that kind of threshold again and again so that our own neurotic tendencies don't just stop us from going forward in a new way. And then we can start facing elemental challenges that would awaken something for us.
How carried away do people get when that happens? I can imagine for myself, I'm thinking that could be a real freakout moment. What is that like when that happens, and how do you help people get through it?
Well, usually when we're freaking out is we're not really connected to anything larger than ourselves. It's our own internal experience that's freaking us out, not necessarily the environment. You know, like you sleep out on the ground. You know, you sleep in a tent, but it's camping, right? It's camping, but you're in a wilderness setting, so, you know, what we become afraid of is bears. Like, yeah, there's bears around somewhere, but they're not likely to visit your tent. But why do we imagine bears? And how is that reflective of something inside us that would have that kind of power or strength that we think is going to attack us, not wake us up?
How do you – and then at the end of the hero's journey, when people are coming back to civilization, you're dropping them off at the airport or you're sending them back to the airport, how do they make that transition back to their regular lives?
That's the real journey. That's probably the biggest challenge. They do that by staying connected to one another or resources that we provide them with to stay awake now, because the real courageous act is to bring whatever has woken up for them that is significant to the people that matter to them in their lives and to let that take root. And, you know, the way in the last segment, they spoke of the woman who took the bullet. You know, something stayed with her. There's something significant having the bullet stay, right, as opposed to having it removed. Well, you know, if you don't have to be penetrated with a bullet, but you can be penetrated with a certain awakening elemental experience or consciousness that takes root and stays with you, it informs you about how to think differently about your world and the life around you.
How many people come back to do the hero's journey over and over?
Many, you know, probably a good 50% come back. They come back to do it again, but they don't do it over and over.
Okay.
You know, it's a new journey, and because they're in a new place. And it's like when you read a really good book, you know, there's something about returning to it and rereading it that it wakes up and speaks to a different aspect of your nature than the first time through.
For those of us who are not going on the journey yet or not ready to go on the journey, what steps do you suggest people start taking in their daily lives to kind of start that process and putting themselves in those situations?
There's a real simple question to ask yourself if you feel like you want to look beyond the life you're currently living, and then that's where haven't I gone before? How can I go where I haven't gone before? And you ask that question the way, you know, a good question takes you on the quest. A good question is the journey. And when you keep that question alive, then you'll notice that when you sit on the bus on the ride to work that you might risk a conversation or a friendly goodwill moment when typically it'd stay behind your iPad or keep the iPhone, you know, the music playing, or that you'll think differently about a potential job promotion, you know. And it's not so much about the physical elements that you'd have to face in the wilderness as much as it is what's wild and alive inside of you that's waiting for you to show up and wake up, and what will wake that up. And that's one of the questions is how can I go where I haven't gone before, and who will help me go there?
Perfect. We will have a link to the Hero's Journey Foundation and your intensive weekend experiences on the Essential Pittsburgh page on the WESA website. Michael Mervosh, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Andy. It was a pleasure.
Coming up on Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA, Bavaria comes back to the Berg. Lee White, spokeswoman for the Pittsburgh Downtown Partnership, joins me in Studio A to talk about the return of the Christmas market to Market Square. This is Andy Conti sitting in for Paul Guggenheimer.